the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Last week here at St. John's, we marked Remembrance Day in the presence of former members of our Defence Forces and those of our allies. It was, as you might imagine, a moving occasion, and it was made all the more so by the fact that we could be together in church and conscious together of Christ's call to be peacemakers whilst war rages in Ukraine. At the lunch following at the Heroes Club down Clendon Road, further remarks were made. I prayed a longer grace than usual, praying for peace. And at the end of proceedings, at the end of lunch, the club president got up, thanked us all, and wished us a Merry Christmas. And I have to say, I was a bit taken aback because it's only 2 weeks into November. But then I realised, of course, it's not actually that far away, just over a month, in fact. And in the life of the church, much occurs between now and Christmas. Like us, many churches have their annual meeting today or nearby. And 4 weeks of Advent beckons, where amidst the endless sound of Mariah Carey singing carols in the supermarket, Jesus bids us, like I bid the children this morning, to be quiet and still, to prepare not only for his birth, but also for his second coming. An always jarring juxtaposition, and I sometimes wonder if Mariah Carey and her consort win out in the end. But before Advent begins, and with it the new church year, we celebrate today the feast of Christ the King, the grand finale of the church year. And we end our year hearing about the crucifixion of Jesus, as recorded in the Gospel of St. Luke, with one eye on this preparatory time of Advent near at hand, next Sunday no less. Now it might seem strange then to consider Jesus' end when at Christmas we are about to turn our avid attention to Jesus' beginning. But the Feast of Christ the King has at its heart the reading of Scripture concerned with the crucifixion of Jesus. And as strange as it is to consider Christ's death before we consider his birth, stranger still it might seem to consider death as the crowning achievement of God's only Son. Christians know that in Jesus' death there is an astonishing victory. There is victory over death itself. And who wouldn't think of this as being a very good reason to celebrate, and an even finer reason to end a year on? Shouldn't that be reason enough to celebrate today? But as with most things, there is more to it. One of the things that we hear from St. Luke today is that Jesus chooses not to save himself on the cross. Suffering as he was a public and humiliating death, Jesus chooses not to save himself. And we ask ourselves, surely the temptation must have been there to do exactly that, to end his suffering, to end his pain, and frankly win over those who had sentenced him to death in the first place. And here we might recall the earlier temptations of Jesus found shortly after his baptism. Then we hear that the Spirit drives Jesus out into the wilderness, where for 40 days he fasts. He is tempted by the devil, no less. Turn stones into bread, Jesus, if you are hungry, the devil tempts him. Jump off this precipice and the angels will save you, the devil tempts him. Worship me and all the kingdoms of the world are yours, he tempts. All of which, spoiler alert, Jesus doesn't succumb to. Likewise at the crucifixion, Jesus is tempted. Save yourself, the crowd tempts. Come down from the cross, the crowd tempts. And why not? Jesus saved others, why not save himself? Why not simply pull out yet another miracle and relieve himself of the ghastly rigours of this humiliating and human death? But he can't do this, and die he must, violently at the hands of those who scoff at him. And herein lies an enormous theological question for 10:30 on a Sunday morning. Why then must Jesus die? Couldn't he just live forever? Truly human, truly divine, crisscrossing the earth and bringing people to himself personally, millennia after millennia, eon after eon? Why trust this whole salvation message to the likes of you and me? Well, here's one good reason why. You might be able to remember someone in your life who lived by the do as I say, but not do as I do mode of living. I had a school teacher like that once. He was a big, burly man, at least 6'2" and about 4 foot across, and even bigger when he was wearing the obligatory academic dress. He would rant and rave about how us boys were not to smoke cigarettes. And this was the 1980s, so all of us were smoking cigarettes. Behind a shop in Bromby Street, and pretty much anywhere in the botanical gardens, especially behind trees. And this teacher threatened us with detentions, and he threatened us with running laps at the said botanical gardens with the headmaster at 6 a.m, and he handed out pictures of dissected smokers' lungs in science class. I think you might be knowing where I'm going with this. Until one day, a fellow boy in my class saw our teacher smoking a surreptitious cigarette at a tram stop in Camberwell. Or to use that wonderful Australian expression, having a sly durry. The boy reported that clearly the cigarette was not the teacher's first. The way he was sucking it back, it wasn't going to be his last. And so the next time he preached about cigarette smoking, we ignored him all the more, with the excuse that this man did not practice what he preached. Jesus had no option but to die for that very same reason. Not to help us quit smoking, even though it's a good thing to do, but because all his life, Jesus advocated a life of self-sacrifice, of placing others before oneself, of even laying one's life down for another. And if Jesus was to enforce that teaching, he had to live it out. To die as he said he would, so that others would see that he was a man of his word, and the way of God is sacrificial love. Now, the people of Jesus' time are recorded as having experienced a number of messiahs and teachers and prophets before and indeed after Jesus, and the disciples refer to a few of these. And I wonder if then they saw through a few of those people in the same way I did as a young man with that teacher at school. People who are prepared to teach and exhort and guide others, yet not live or practice what they preached. We shall, of course, never know. But we do know in Jesus that he ended up dying an awful death, so to follow through to the bitter end, that which he taught in his life. Self-sacrifice, resistance in the face of temptation, and the laying down of life for one's friends. It had particular reference last week on Remembrance Day, as you might imagine. On the cross, Jesus practiced what he preached. Yet there's more to what's going on here. After the period of preparation we call Advent, beginning next week and for 4 weeks leading up to Christmas, we will gather together here in this church again to hear the good news of Jesus' birth. And Christmas is this time when we marvel at the reality of God becoming like you and me, becoming human, of the Creator becoming like the created, and the Maker of stars being born under them. Extraordinarily, in Jesus, we know that God knows exactly and precisely what our human life is like. In Christ, God feels the same pain, rejection, suffering, and grief that we do, and also the same joy, relief, happiness, and love that we do. In God becoming truly human in the person of Christ, God had to finish the earthly race just as we do. Just as Jesus had to die, so one day will we too. And in that we can pray to our Lord and know that in him, God incarnate, God knows deep down in God's heart what our hearts are like. We can pray to God about how much it hurts to grieve and know that God knows deep down in God's heart what we are talking about. We can pray to Christ about how torturous this earthly life can be and know that God knows what we are talking about. In the crucifixion and death of Jesus, we meet God on the level, and this is but one of the great gifts that his death wins for us. But the greatest gift, I think, lies in the fact that just as Jesus lived a human life by the power of the Holy Spirit, just as we live a human life in Jesus by the power of that same Holy Spirit, in death we will follow our Lord, to be resurrected with him, to conquer death in him, to live for eternity with God our Creator, and all this through the death and resurrection of Jesus. And so it's a long way of saying it, but it is for that reason the Feast of Christ the King finishes the Church's year. That victory crowns the year just gone. We end on a high note. And so for that reason, perhaps our response today can be threefold. Firstly, to give thanks for what Jesus has done for each of us in the conquering of death. Secondly, to give thanks for the life of this church as it continues to preach and live this good news. And lastly, to live and give in such a fashion that it truly mirrors what we have learnt from Christ, that no one has greater love than this, than to lay down their life for one's friends. In such we see the grace, love and mercy of God. And may that same grace dwell in you richly, today and always. Amen.